Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine spending weeks, I mean weeks, designing, fabricating, getting these custom steel parts just right. They are perfect, you know, absolutely pristine, ready to go. And then they arrive at the customer site and they are not perfect. Maybe those beautiful CNC machine brackets are scratched up, maybe even showing rust.
Yeah, or those frames you welded so carefully have bent corners.
Exactly. You know that feeling. It just sinks your stomach. All that hard work, potentially down the drain, costs you time, costs you money.
And sadly, as the material you shared really points out, this kind of thing happens way too often. It often comes down to overlooking what feels like the last step, shipping. But it's actually one of the most critical stages.
Right. Shipping isn't just getting it from A to B.
Not at all.
So today we're doing a deep dive into the sources you sent over, focusing specifically on this exact problem. How do you protect custom steel parts when they're in transit?
Yeah, our mission here is to really pull out the most important insights, the practical steps from this information. We want to help you understand not just how to prevent damage, which is key, but also, crucially, what you need to be ready for if, despite your best efforts, it happens anyway.
Okay, so we'll get into the best packaging methods these materials recommend, some smart ways to secure even heavy or delicate parts,
Right.
what the common culprits are behind damage, according to this research, and then those essential steps for handling claims when things go wrong.
It's all aimed at making sure the quality you put into your parts actually survives the journey, gets to the customer intact.
Because, let's be honest, shipping isn't just about logistics, is it?
Not in the slightest. I mean, what these sources really hammer home is that shipping is a quality control step. It's part of the
Get
process.
it wrong and poof.
Exactly. You can totally undermine weeks of careful production. Remember that anecdote in there about the rush shipment?
Oh, yeah, the one where the parts got soaked.
That's the one. They had to completely remake the parts, plus they got hit with late fees. All because the crate wasn't properly protected from the rain. Simple as that, but costly.
Oof, yeah, that kind of story definitely sticks with you. So the core goal, as these materials frame it, seems pretty straightforward. Prevent the damage, prevent the loss.
Right. Using specific proven techniques. They mention things like using corrosion inhibitors, vital for steel, making sure the packaging itself is secure, keeping proper spacing between parts. They don't get massively deep into tracking technology itself, but the principle is clear. It boils down to protecting your finished quality and dodging those incredibly expensive remakes and delays.
Which naturally leads us straight into the first line of defense the research highlights,
Yeah.
getting the packaging right.
Yep. Proper packaging.
My first thought, you know, if I'm shipping steel, maybe just wrap it in a bunch of bubble wrap. Seems
Yeah,
easy.
a common thought. But the experience shared in these materials, well, it makes it pretty clear that's often just not enough. Not for steel, anyway. They mentioned getting a lot of surface complaints early on, scratches, minor rust.
Okay, so bubble wrap isn't the silver bullet.
Not usually, no. And that's why they move towards what are really considered industry standard techniques. The materials specifically call out VCI materials.
PCI.
Volatile corrosion inhibitors. We'll get into that. Plus specific protective coatings, using padding and spacing really strategically, and maybe most critically for steel, rigorous moisture control. Think desiccants, sealed packaging.
Okay, let's break those down. They sound fundamental. First up, VCI materials. What's the story there?
Right, so VCI stands for Volatile Corrosion Inhibitor. It's actually pretty clever. Think of it like creating a protective microclimate inside the package.
Okay.
These are special films or papers that slowly release invisible, harmless chemical compounds into the air within the package. These compounds then settle on the metal surfaces and form a sort of molecular barrier that stops rust from forming.
So it's not just physically wrapping it, it's actually treating the air around the part.
Precisely. It's creating a protective atmosphere. The recommendation is often to line crates with VCI materials or maybe wrap individual parts directly with VCI films or papers.
And when is that most useful?
They found it particularly effective, even crucial, for things like export shipments or anything that's going to be in transit for a really long time where exposure risk is higher.
Got it. Makes sense for long journeys. What about those protective coatings you mentioned?
So these are temporary layers applied directly onto the steel surface itself. They offer another level of shielding, both against moisture getting to the metal and against physical scratches or scuffs during handling.
What kinds are there?
The types mentioned include things like VCI oil spray, so you get that vapor protection, plus oily film, but also wax-based dip coatings, which provide a thicker barrier.
Dip coatings. Like dipping a candle?
Sort of, yeah. And interestingly, peelable vinyl coatings.
Peelable vinyl, like a temporary skin for the part.
That's a great way to put it. It kind of is. It's apparently great for surface critical items where you need a really robust barrier right on the part itself, but crucially, one that can be easily peeled off when it arrives without leaving gunk behind.
Okay, interesting. Then there's padding and spacing. This seems more intuitive, maybe, but the materials spell out why it's so essential.
Yeah, it's basically to stop parts from banging into each other or rubbing together. Contact damage, even minor vibrations can cause scratching if parts are touching.
Right.
So using materials like foam sheets, corrugated paper dividers, or even carefully placed wooden blocks or spacers is key. This is absolutely vital for any finished or precision machined part where even a tiny surface flaw is a big problem.
And the last one was sealed packaging with desiccants. I see those little do not eat packets in electronics boxes all the time.
Exactly. Those are desiccants. They're moisture absorbers. Mm. When you put them inside a properly sealed container, like a heavy-duty plastic bag liner inside a crate, or maybe heat sealing the whole thing, they actively suck the humidity out of the air inside.
Ah, controlling the internal environment again.
Precisely. Given how fast steel can rust, especially if you're shipping through humid climates or by sea freight where condensation is a real risk, getting that internal humidity down is paramount.
Okay, so it's a layered approach then. You've got VCI looking after the air, maybe a coating on the surface itself, padding and spacing to keep things physically apart, and then sealing it all up with desiccants to battle the overall moisture. It's definitely a lot more involved than just checking it in a box with some bubble wrap.
It's a multi-layered strategy, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And as the research points out, quite pointedly actually, getting this right isn't just about protecting the metal. It directly protects your customer relationships and, frankly, your profit margins by stopping those quality complaints before they even start.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But okay, even with the best padding, you still have to worry about stuff shifting around, right? Especially heavy steel parts. This makes me think of that anecdote about the steel frames. The ones with the bent corners.
Oh, yeah.
They looked perfect leaving the shop, but the bumping and shifting during road transport just wrecked the corners.
That story is a perfect illustration of why securing the parts within the package is just as non-negotiable as the packaging materials themselves. The core principle the sources talk about is immobilization.
Immobilization. Keep it still.
Exactly. Keeping everything tight and unable to move around is key to preventing that kind of damaging internal chaos, especially with heavy components that can really build momentum inside a crate.
Okay, so what are the go-to techniques here? The materials mention stretch wrap, corner protectors, separator pads, proper bracing, and something about not overpacking.
Yeah, that's a good point. You want it tight and secure, definitely, but not so excessively compressed that the packing materials themselves end up deforming the parts. It's a balance.
Right.
Stretch wrap and pallet banding are sort of foundational for palletized loads. Use them to bind components tightly together into the pallet or skid itself. Often using cross-strapping patterns really helps lock everything down securely.
Is that pretty much standard for any steel parts going on a pallet?
Generally, yes. It's a very common and effective method. Then you have things like corner protectors.
The little plastic or cardboard angles?
Exactly. Simple, but they're vital for preventing dents or impacts on vulnerable edges, especially important for delicate corners or slightly machined areas. You typically use them with the stretch wrap tucked underneath.
Okay. What about securing things inside a closed crate, though?
Right. That's where crate bracing comes in. This involves using materials like wooden blocks, custom-cut foam barriers, maybe even inflatable dunnage bags to fill voids and immobilize the parts inside the crate.
So it stops them shifting within the box itself.
Precisely. It significantly reduces the effects of vibration and sudden impacts during handling or transit. But the materials do offer good caution here. Make sure you don't over-tighten the bracing. You could actually deform the part if you apply too much pressure in the wrong spot.
Good point. Finding that sweet spot. And there was that specific, slightly surprising detail about avoiding direct contact with wood.
Ah, yes. That's a fascinating one. The research points out that certain types of wood, they mention oak specifically, can actually contain acidic compounds.
Really? Acid in wood?
Apparently so. Hmm. And if bare steel is in direct, long-term contact with that kind of wood, especially if there's any moisture present, it can actually trigger or accelerate corrosion.
Wow, okay. So how do you prevent that?
The simple fix they recommend is just using a barrier layer. Put down some VCI paper or a sheet of plastic or some other inert material wherever the steel might touch wood surfaces inside the crate. Same goes for preventing contact between dissimilar metals, which can cause galvanic corrosion.
So securing is actually pretty complex too. It's not just stopping things falling out of the box. It's stopping internal movement, cushioning against impacts, and even preventing potential chemical reactions. Who knew?
Exactly right. It's protection against physical loss, sure, but maybe more importantly, it's protection against the loss of quality that leads to those costly returns, unhappy customers, and damage to your reputation.
Okay, so we've covered packaging, we've covered securing, but even with all these precautions meticulously in place, it's still crucial to understand the specific ways damage commonly happens, right?
Absolutely. Know your enemy.
The materials list the usual suspects. That story you mentioned earlier about the hastily packed crate left out in the rain, that's a perfect, if painful, example.
The classic failure point, unfortunately. The research basically identifies the most common causes of damage as, number one, corrosion from moisture and humidity. Then physical impact damage, vibration damage, generally poor or inadequate packaging.
Which we just discussed.
Right. Direct moisture exposure, like that crate in the rain. And finally, improper handling during loading in transit or unloading at the destination.
And they connect prevention strategies to each one. Moisture and humidity are obviously huge for steel. Rust is always lurking.
Always. It's especially risky during sea freight, as we said, with high humidity and temperature swings causing condensation. Or, obviously, if cargo gets directly exposed to rain or snow somewhere along the line.
And the prevention.
It circles right back to what we discussed. Using VCI materials, adding desiccants, and ensuring the packaging is properly sealed against the outside environment. Robust moisture defense.
Okay. Then vibration and shock, just the rattling and bumping from roads, rail, or rough seas. What can that do?
Well, if parts aren't properly cushioned and secured, vibration can cause them to rub against each other, leading to scratches and abrasions. Bigger shocks or impacts can cause bending, denting, even outright breakage if things aren't protected.
Which highlights the need for
good internal bracing inside crates, definitely. Adequate padding and separators between every single part, and securely stretch wrapping palletized loads so nothing shifts.
Makes sense. Contact damage is kind of related parts literally hitting or rubbing against each other, often because maybe they were packed too tightly without enough separation.
Exactly. Or maybe not enough padding was used. The fix there is pretty straightforward conceptually. Use enough spacers, foam layers, corrugated dividers, whatever is appropriate to keep everything safely apart from its neighbors.
Then there's poor handling. Dropping crates, forklifts, running into things, stuff like that leads to those frustrating crushed edges, dents, maybe worse.
Yeah, human error or carelessness during handling is a big factor. Prevention here is really twofold. Using clear handling labels on the packaging, fragile, this way up, do not stack, etc. And ideally, ensuring that the people actually doing the loading and unloading are properly trained and aware they're handling sensitive, high-value cargo.
And the last one they listed was incorrect stacking, like putting a really heavy crate on top of a weaker one.
Yep. A recipe for disaster. It can lead to deformation, crushed boxes, even crack parts inside the lower crate. Prevention involves following established load planning guidelines, distributing weight properly, and making sure the crates or boxes you use are actually strong enough to support the weight that might be stacked on top of them in transit. Crate integrity is key.
So the real takeaway from this section, it seems, is that you can't really build a robust prevention plan unless you properly understand the specific ways things are most likely to go wrong for your parts on their journey.
Knowing the risks is the first step to mitigating them. Absolutely. But despite all the best prevention efforts, sometimes damage still happens. It's a reality of shipping.
And that's where being prepared for the claims process becomes absolutely vital. The materials shared that that experience with the shipment of machine parts that arrived rusted.
Right, the corrosion issue.
Yeah, and how having really meticulous documentation was the key to actually recovering the cost from the insurer or carrier.
That story really underscores the essential process you need to follow. If you discover damage or if something is missing, you have to document it immediately and thoroughly. Then notify everyone involved, that means your insurer and your freight partner, right away. And then formally submit a claim with all your supporting paperwork, photos, everything.
And acting fast is important.
Crucial. There are often time limits for reporting damage and filing claims. Acting quickly keeps everything within those deadlines and generally helps get the whole thing resolved much more smoothly.
Okay, so the step-by-step guide from the materials. It starts the second the shipment arrives at the door, right? Inspect on delivery.
Absolutely. Non-negotiable. Don't just sign for it blindly. Open it up right there if you can, or at least check the exterior carefully. Look for any visible damage to the crate or packaging, signs of tampering, water stains, crushing, shifting, anything unusual.
And if you see something,
note everything down on the delivery receipt before you sign it. Be specific. Crate corner crushed, packaging torn, signs of water damage. This notation is your primary proof that the damage likely occurred during transit, not after you accepted it.
Okay, note it on the receipt. Then what?
Then document visually. Take photos. Lots of photos.
What kind of photos are best?
You want a range. Get wide shots, showing the overall condition of the crate or pallet as it arrived. Then get close-ups, focusing specifically on the damaged areas of the parts themselves. Also, take pictures of the packaging around the damaged area, showing if it was torn, crushed, or inadequate, and capture the condition of the pallet or crate itself. Basically, tell the story with pictures. Show the context.
Got it. Photos are key evidence. Next step.
Notify everyone involved immediately. Get in touch with your freight forwarder or the carrier who delivered it. Let them know what you found. And critically, contact your cargo insurance provider.
Why is that so important?
Well, timely notification is almost always a requirement of the insurance policy. Miss the deadline, and you might jeopardize your claim. Plus, gets the ball rolling with everyone who needs to be involved.
Okay. Notify promptly. Next, gather all the paperwork.
Right. The claim needs supporting documentation. The materials list the key documents you'll typically need. The commercial invoice showing the value. The packing list detailing what was shipped. Your proof of damage, that means those photos you took, maybe a formal inspection report if one was gone, the cargo insurance certificate or policy details, and the bill of lading or freight contract.
And having all that ready up front helps.
Massively. Having a complete package of documents right from the start is the best way to avoid delays, back and forth requests, or even potential claim denials based on missing information. Makes the adjuster's job easier, gets you paid faster.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And the final step they mention is follow up.
Yeah, don't just submit the claim and assume it's being handled. Track its progress. Follow up regularly with the insurer and the freight partner. In their experience, providing complete paperwork up front and then politely but persistently following up helps prompt insurers to process claims much more quickly. Keep it on their radar.
So the conclusion here feels quite powerful, actually. It's like protecting your cargo doesn't just stop when it leaves your facility.
Not at all.
Being fully prepared to handle the issues the claims process, if they do arise, that's just as crucial a part of the whole shipping strategy as preventing the damage in the first place.
It's that complete end-to-end focus, isn't it? From production through packaging, transit, and even potential recovery after delivery.
Okay. So bringing all of this together from the sources, the core prevention strategies really seem to crystallize into three main points, wouldn't you say?
I think so. First, rigorously protect against moisture in every way possible, VCI, desiccants, sealed packaging. Second, cushion every single part effectively from impact and vibration.
No contact.
Right. And third, secure those crates and pallets tightly so absolutely nothing can shift or move during transit. Immobilize everything.
Precision in the packing and preparedness for the journey seem to be the keys. That's how you keep that quality intact, from your shop floor all the way to the customer's receiving dock.
Well put. It requires diligence at every step. So perhaps the big thought for you, listening to this deep dive, is really about how much this information shifts the perspective. It's not just about preventing damage with bubble wrap and boxes, is it?
Yeah, it's much broader.
It's about actively managing all those risks we talked about, moisture, impact, vibration, handling. It's about being genuinely ready for when problems inevitably occur, despite your best efforts, having that claims process nailed down, and maybe most importantly, understanding just how fundamentally these seemingly small details in shipping, how they directly impact your bottom line, your costs, your efficiency, and perhaps most critically, the trust that your customers place in the quality you promise to deliver. It's all connected.